The Lord is with us, our dwellers, in a really marvelous, marvelous way. May His peace and wisdom dwell in your hearts. I know some of you are dealing with disappointment, and I'm praying for you, but please don't allow the enemy to sow discord or throw you off course with your faith. I want to address two things tonight. They're very, very important. In fact, I can understand why we've been hit so hard recently, because the things in this teaching from the Lord are going to be tremendously helpful to stop the spiritual attacks and the warfare that's been going on amongst us. So the topics are spiritual warfare and a healthy marriage. And this is a continuation of the lessons on warfare, because I'm learning things that will make for a healthy marriage and will also help us to put down these attacks from the enemy. I've spoken to you about doors in a previous message, and that a door opens when you sin in your heart, your mind, or in the physical realm. Along with that door comes demons, and more demons, and more demons. And once that door has been opened, it gets used by many demons, depending on what the Lord permits. So why would Jesus allow a Christian to be sifted by demons? Well, simply, they're not walking in perfect charity and obedience. And we've discovered that the Lord's idea of charity and ours are light years apart. Here's how the demons work. This is a recent example from my own life. I get up in the morning feeling a little cranky, in pain, not fully conscious, and I find out my husband forgot to circulate fresh air during the night, which I specifically asked him to do when I went to bed. Now these adobe rooms are hot and the cats, even though they're neutered, went in and marked some territory. I'm extremely sensitive to odors and oxygen in the air, and he is habitually closing windows behind me because he gets cold, and I love fresh air. So right off the bat, I'm irritated. No, that's not right. I was downright angry, but I said it in a nice way, though on the inside it was not a pretty sight. Honey, you forgot to circulate fresh air in the studio last night, and the cats went in there. It smells awful. Of course, we do have a spray that takes care of it immediately. He, of course, gives me a very good reason why he forgot. And I say, I forgive you. But on the inside, I'm accusing him of doing it deliberately because he loves to shut windows behind me. So I'm stewing. Right then and there, I opened a big door by my pride, which made me angry. You can always point to pride as the root of your anger and accusing God as the source. I failed to yield to him and show charity. I falsely accused him because I suspect he really did it deliberately. So now I'm accusing him of lying. I'm stewing in selfishness, anger, pride, resentment, a critical spirit, and false accusation. And many doors with many demons have just been opened. And this is at the beginning of my day. Guys, I am no saint. I have a lot of pride. And I can tell that because I get angry or irritated when something doesn't go my way. I want to make that clear. I get angry, I get indignant, I accuse, I expect perfection, I hold a grudge, secretly thinking, he'll do it again, so you'll have to check everything when he's in bed for the night. Oh, I am the worst burden to my own self. But just in the first 15 minutes of the day, I've opened the door for oppression all day long unless I repent, ask forgiveness, and make it up to him. And even then, there's no guarantee the Lord will stop the demons. In fact, even if I shut the doors, repent, and apologize, I still have seen oppression hound me for the rest of the day. And when I ask a friend with discernment to pray for me, they are still seeing open doors, along with the demons that waltz right in with them. This isn't easy, dear ones. You are setting out to conquer your flesh, things that irritate, inconvenience, moving too slowly, oppose you. Things from years ago that have become an irritating pattern between you and your spouse. And they open their doors immediately. And some of those doors have never been shut. And the demons that came with them have never been kicked out, because we're still holding grudges. So in this case, I ask Holy Spirit to please help me. I repent and ask forgiveness of my husband. I ask forgiveness of the Lord for my pride, ungratefulness even, that I have a husband, my unwillingness to suffer a little and let it go, not just from the conversation, but from my mind and my heart. Carrying this stuff makes you sick. Once you've opened a door and the demons come in, then they defecate all over you, in your soul, and it gets putrid and builds up. Rick Joyner talks about that in one of his books. In the meantime, Ezekiel is getting condemnation that he isn't a good husband, discord from his wife, anger because he likes the windows closed and why can't I live with it, and I just always have to have them open. Condemnation if he forgot because he wasn't feeling well. Condemnation if he didn't forget but just wanted it shut. So now he's got lying to contend with also, and he's already opened several doors. And the demons come in and make themselves right at home, leaving their nasty defecation on his soul. I want to share with you the demons most commonly at work. A critical spirit, selfishness, false accusation, impatience, condemnation, anger, frustration, resentment, division. That's a big one, and all these other guys operate underneath that one. Pride, fear, grief, sorrow, isolation, alienation, loneliness, and self-pity. Then there are energy vampire demons that suck the life out of you, especially when you go out in public, stores, malls, etc. And there are corrals made up of energy fields operating at a certain frequency that isolate you from your work and others, as well as manipulating moods by frequency modulation. A person can have more than one corral, and each one has its own function. So you have oppression from four different sources: doors, demons who open and come in and work through that door, energy vampire demons, which I've banished with the blood of Jesus, by the way, and multiple corrals that isolate your feelings and thoughts from your work or another person, most commonly your spouse. Usually when I go into prayer, we both have them. He has one between himself and I have one between myself and him. Before we prayed against these corrals, my cats had been avoiding me and each other. They were scattered all over the place. There was just a strange kind of distance and coolness. They were always disappearing for a few hours. And that was unusual. They used to sleep on the bed all the time. We prayed and discovered isolation, alienation, and fear demons, as well as corrals. We prayed and they were removed and sent to the abyss. Within the next day, all our cats started sleeping on the bed again, playing with each other, cuddling, and following us around to be petted. Just in one day, there was a marked difference in behavior. So these things are so real. We noticed our dog, too, seemed depressed. He had grief and sorrow and isolation demons. I can't tell you the difference these prayers have made. These corrals also get in the way of healing from one person to another. So you husbands and wives have been praying for one another. It may feel like your prayers aren't working anymore. Well, they may not be. You may have these energy corrals surrounding you and cutting you off from one another. I've seen a dramatic difference in effectiveness since I pray the corrals down before I lay hands on him, or anyone else for that matter. I have to pray that my corrals and his both come down before I can pray for the healing. Are you and your spouse feeling a little distant? Almost assuredly, you have these corrals that are separating you. They're also used as steering fences to steer you away from your work and each other. When we lived on the mountain and raised sheep, we used steering fences to bring them into their corrals at night. And these are very similar, but they're made of energy whorls or vortexes, circles, instead of livestock wire. There have been corrals between me and the painting of Jesus, my music, my husband, and my animals. There are also blocks. They can be the size of a huge limestone block or a stack of blocks, 30 feet high and 30 feet wide, blocking your way from what you want to do for the Lord, even under obedience. And there can be a multitude of each of these. Many doors, many demons, many corrals, double and triple corrals. Gets overwhelming. One to separate you from your work, one to separate you from your wife, one to separate you from your pets, and even one and cut you off from connecting with your ministry or your work. I've felt these all my life, but I never knew what to do about them. Sometimes they are taken out after worship. Sometimes the Lord answers the prayer and you feel relief. But are they being held in place by a sinful habit? That's at the heart of this, guys. That's the point. If you're going to get aggravated again for what troubled you before, that door is going to open again and again and again. And it's a merry-go-round until you determine that you're not going to continue to fall for the same tricks. Rather, you are going to show saintly charity, say nothing, think nothing, and feel nothing. Good luck. I do not have that kind of self-control, but I know who does, and I appeal to him. This is one of the fruits of the Spirit. In fact, he just gave me the rhema. God will not allow you to be tempted, tested, or tormented beyond your strength. His help will always be equal to the trial he sends. So we're working on this one together. The main point I'm making here is that we are our own worst enemy. We open the doors to oppression by our bad behavior. Not bad like shooting someone or stealing on income tax. Bad like holding resentment with someone, even for 20 years or over, just for the littlest annoyances. This realization just about knocked me off my horse. Do we realize we invite the demons in by what we think and feel, not just what we say or act on? Attitudes become habitual sins. But remember what he's taught us before. Any criticism at all wounds a soul. Though they're not aware of where it came from, it still hurts and weakens them. We can keep our mouths shut and put a sweetsy-cutesy smile on our faces, but in our hearts is a cesspool of resentment and frustration, just waiting for the next time that person crosses us. So what do? Well, we can ask for prayer from a good friend, close the doors, bind the demons, send them all to the abyss, never to send for reinforcements or retaliate. So the doors and the demons have to go. We then have to learn how to respond in charity when we're inconvenienced. This has to do with pride and selfishness. I want it the way I want it, and you can't have it your way. Well, we've been working on that one for a compromise. Close the window partway, leave it open very slightly for fresh air. Both of us give something up for the necessity of the other. I don't have all the answers, but I know they can be banished by prayer. But are we ready to behave differently once they've been removed? This calls for supernatural charity. And the only place I know to increase that is in the Lord's presence, worshiping Him and receiving His love in return. And when we find out how honored and loved Almighty God feels about us, we soak up this goodness of His and want to lavish it on others who are needy for love, even our own spouses. We become grateful and praise God for the good things in our lives instead of complaining to Him that our spouse shuts the windows behind our back. And this is precisely why this channel has come under such attack. Those who are getting truly close to Jesus in this pure and worshipful way are getting empowered to overcome their petty likes and dislikes in order to love one another more than themselves. And it is closing doors, and the demons can't enter so easily anymore. Instead of reacting in resentment, we react in supernatural love. The door remains shut, and the demons don't have permission to oppress us. So they wait and wait and wait, provoking us with one thing after another, until we finally crack. Satan's angry, guys, and threatened by anyone who has a pure and intimate relationship with Jesus. He's furious, and anyone who teaches this is going to get persecution. Can you imagine it? A soul such as Carrie Job being accused of carnal lyrics in the song, "The More I Seek You." This song talks about a spiritual love affair with God, exactly like John the Evangelist had with Jesus. It is written in the scriptures, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." That's John 13:23, the King James Version. Okay, so John was leaning on the Lord's heart. And here are the lyrics to "The More I Seek You." "I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe and feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming." This is a powerful, living picture of a soul totally in love with God. And she's leading others into this place of purity and intimacy. But she gets accused of eroticism here. This again is a religious spirit, the very same one at work. The synagogue leader was indignant that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. "There are 6 days for work," he told the crowd, "so come and be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath." And Jesus replied, "You hypocrites! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it to water?" That's Luke 13:14. Did not the Lord Jesus allow John to rest his head on his bosom and hear his heartbeat? I'm not even going to venture a guess to the motives of such unscriptural criticism, but the result is to discourage people from falling in love purely with God and resting in Him, so He may bring about a fresh healing, infilling, and anointing. This is where the power is. Heidi Baker is another example of unjust persecution. After laboring more than 10 years in Africa, she had only established a few churches and was sorely disappointed until she went to Toronto and got slain in the Holy Spirit and was plastered to the floor for something like 3 days. It took several men to lift her because of the heavy glory of God that was on her. She went back to Africa after that and started the greatest revival that continent has ever seen, with continual miracles of raising from the dead, opening blind eyes and deaf ears, and conversions to the Lord, unparalleled on that continent. Nonetheless, the group of men supporting her withdrew her support the moment they learned she went to Toronto. She was going to build orphanages with that money. I mean, we're talking about all these little children left from their parents being hacked to death with machetes. And she was going to build orphanages for them, and they took it from her because she'd gone to Toronto and was now endorsing Holy Spirit's legitimate movement there. This is where the power to overcome our flesh is. The Trinity fills us with their love, strength, and wisdom and anointing during this kind of intimate prayer time. When we've been in the presence of the Lord and the anointing is really flowing, we're feeling wonderful, and it's no problem to come from prayer and overlook these silly things, loving our brother more than we love ourselves. In fact, we are so in love, we see it as an opportunity to love Jesus himself. We don't open the door to pride and selfishness because we're filled with brotherly love in God's presence. That's why Satan is persecuting us and every other channel or movement that teaches purity and intimacy in Jesus' presence. The demons take things out of context, twist them, and put lies in people's heads. If they have purity issues themselves or are captive to lust or pornography, they assign unclean motives to pure vessels and spread lies, which cause the innocent new Christians to be afraid they're going to hell for loving Jesus in purity and innocence. These are those spoken of in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and very often persecuting those filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues as well. They just aren't aware of the damage they're doing, so all we can do is forgive them and pray that God will open their eyes to his power and coming into his intimate presence in absolute purity and passionate brotherly love, which is how he feels about us. Without being filled by the power of Holy Spirit and the rivers of living waters flowing from the heart of Jesus, Christians, young and old, can't resist being critical and selfish. They can't stop opening doors with judgment, pride, and selfishness. So the demons rejoice and move right in every time they fail in charity. And they become seriously oppressed and critical of everyone and everything good, not taking into account the fruit of ministries, only finding fault and destroying the faith of new Christians who are innocently hungering for God. When we fall in love with Jesus, we never want to hurt him again. When we give our lives to Jesus out of the fear of hell, we don't live in his love. We act out of fear, which after a while fades. But who among us wants to live with someone we're afraid of 24/7? Fear causes us to be suspicious, legalistic, rigid, and living a false Christian faith out of rules, not love. I'm telling you all these things so you will understand we are in a war, and your soul is the booty. When I don't get enough sweet trysting time with Jesus, I get tired, crabby, impatient, judgmental, etc., etc. Then I open the doors and oppression comes literally flying in. So how do we get rid of these doors? Number one is a commitment to holiness and charity. Then we must fill up on the passionate love Jesus has for us, and let him heal our wounded spirits and souls by coming into worship and resting in his presence. allowing him to take us on a journey to heaven or a walk or even letting you rest over his heart. These are times of precious, loving, bonding, and filling with grace. When we see how much he loves us, we begin to accept ourselves for who we are and others for who they are and lay down the scalpels of criticism. We must first be able to love ourselves, or jealousy and fear will predominate in our relationships with one another. When you feel good, you don't want to criticize anyone. When you feel lousy about yourself, everyone is a pain. So recognize your faults, repent of them, asking God's forgiveness and strength to go and sin no more. Renounce these spirits out loud. Go into worship and praise. Let the music express your heart to him. Rest in the words, lifting them up. If you encounter Jesus, rest in him. Fill up on his presence, whether you see him or not. The scripture says, I inhabit the praises of my people. That's Psalm 22:3. So based on that one scripture alone, we know when we are praising him that he is with us. He's there. Come into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. That's Psalm 100:4. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, Hebrews 13:15. And come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. It's Matthew 11:28. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. Isaiah 30:15. When you come out of worship, you should feel refreshed, for you've touched the hem of his garment, and grace has gone out of him into you. He has given us many teachings about this intimacy and purity. Listen to them, and please study the scriptures we use and cite. You can find resources in the box beneath this video. Just click on Show More. We have a search engine, website, and blog called Still Small Voice, Triage for Truth Seekers, and it contains many scriptural references and teachings to back up everything the Lord Jesus has given us in these messages. Then practice the love you feel on others. When you start to get irritated, stop right there and ask Holy Spirit to deliver you from your bad habit. You're going to get very tired of demonic oppression, and this will be incentive to keep you from your sinful attitudes. Guys, I've been experiencing this for the last week, and I want to tell you, I am tired of my sins for more reason than one. If the doors are opened, seek God as to why. Sometimes he'll even give you a rhema or two as to why. Then repent and renounce that attitude. Close the doors, bind the demons in the name of Jesus, and send the whole mess to the abyss. Take authority over the energy corrals that cause distraction and isolation. In the name of Jesus, I command these corrals to come down. I command these blocks to go to the abyss. I bind, and then use the name of the demon, and command you in Jesus' name to go to the abyss and never return or send for reinforcements. It's no wonder we have been horrifically attacked this week, guys. Satan didn't want this message broadcast. But now you're armed with a powerful arsenal of tools against the oppressions you and your family have been suffering for years. Please take it to heart and remember this teaching. As you judge, so shall judgment be meted out to you. Do not judge others with your spouse or any other person or family member. Isn't it just so natural when we've been attacked or wounded by something done to us or our loved ones? The first response is to attack those who did it, verbally criticizing them. The demons count on this knee-jerk reaction. They come with arrows in their hands that they pass out to our closest friends. And if they're weak, they use them. You then react and discuss their bad behavior, criticizing them back and forth with your children, your parents, or your spouse. And that's it. All of you just opened personal doors, and now each of you will suffer oppression for this. There's no other solution to this than to love. That's why Jesus commanded us, love one another as I have loved you. It's John 15:12. And how did he love the Pharisees? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So let us be worthy of his name, not just on the surface where everyone can see, but deep down inside. For it is written, do you not yet realize that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then is eliminated? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these things defile a man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, etc., etc. That's Matthew 15:18. And just to illustrate this point, this happened last night, as a matter of fact, I went grieving to the Lord because I could fast from everything but my Frappuccino protein drink, which I enjoy so much. And he answered me, do away with your critical spirit, and I will ignore your frap as if it didn't exist, and you're fasting before me on bread and water. Wow! And then the scripture, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And I want to apply the principle in this verse of scripture to talking about others. This could be applied to any sin. Do not criticize one another. Anyone who does has assaulted the soul of another in his heart. Now, I have seen what criticism does to people in the spirit. It leaves a soul ripped and bloody and sometimes even crucified. This is why the penalty is so heavy. The devils are God's policemen. He allows them to attack because we have attacked others. Ezekiel and I had a very turbulent marriage for 12 years. It was really hard. Until we figured it out, the minute after we thought badly about anyone, whether they were innocent or guilty, whether we inferred it or merely thought and discussed it, we got into an argument that ruined the rest of our day. The Lord was training us, it's true, so he was very strict with us. And anyone wanting to grow spiritually must conquer this evil before they can go anywhere with the anointing. You walk away from these incidents wounded inside. Whether someone said it to you out loud, said it behind your back, or merely thought it, a poisoned arrow of condemnation goes right to the heart and lodges there, making the soul spiritually sick. That opens the demon's door to those that assaulted you, and they come under oppression. Then you get home and discuss it with your wife or husband or mother and father and react in pain, criticizing them. Now, with one arrow, Satan opened the doors of all these people so that they'll be oppressed. Be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus commanded. He was at that moment arming us for every battle we would ever have in life. Blessed will we be if we obey him. Lord, help us. Amen.